Welcome to the podcast, What's So Important About My Legacy? This is your host, Ken Edwards.
Welcome to the audio edition for week 5 of Building My Footprint for God, the companion guide for small groups or individual study of the book, My Footprint for God. Our spiritual legacy has more to do with creating an estate plan than you might think. And a holistic view of stewardship includes our estate plan. Unfortunately, the story you are about to hear is all too often true. Rosie and Jose were married for 37 years when Jose unexpectedly died. Rosie was shocked by Jose's death, but she was devastated by the events of the next few weeks. Like most Americans, Jose died without a valid will. Regrettably, Rosie lost control of everything, and the state laws dictated what happened next. Our topic today is a good steward plans, and I'm delighted to introduce our guest. Ken Roney is an attorney and president of the Church of Nazarene Foundation. He has practiced law for more than 40 years with emphasis on wills, trust, and estate planning. He graduated with high honors from the University of Florida and from Nova University Law School. In addition to serving the foundation, he is a member of Hope Springs Nazarene Church in Loveland, Colorado. As a third-generation Nazarene, his roots go back to the early days of the denomination. Ken says, "I'm delighted that God has given me the opportunity to use my talents and skills to serve God's kingdom." Ken? Welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'm glad you joined us today because of the many years' experience you have working in estate planning. All too often, this is an area we procrastinate. Your knowledge in estate planning will help us understand this complex subject. Ken, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I actually gave my heart to Christ at a youth camp in 1962. I have had the opportunity to serve Christ in my profession as a lawyer. Over the last 15 years, I've done that through a Christian foundation. Not only enjoyed it and used my skills and my talents, but also I feel like I'm doing something meaningful for the kingdom. And when the smoke clears, that's what it's all about.
Well, during the introduction, you heard the story of Rosie and Jose. Does this happen in real life?
Sure, it happens in real life. And you're right, it happens more often than what you think. And it's just important for married couples to be on the same page with their estate planning.
So Ken, what happens when somebody dies without a valid will?
So really, truthfully, what happens is the state prepares a will for you. And you say, well, that sounds pretty good, a free will. But that's not exactly the way it works, because the state may not distribute the assets the way you would want them to be distributed. And they don't take into consideration problematic children or needy children. Only you know what the circumstances of your family are and how they can best be served and how they can be served in a way that is honoring to Christ and his kingdom.
Well, that would be my goal, to bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, even in my estate plan. So why is it hard on our family when we are unprepared?
Well, there are several ways to be unprepared. One is to do absolutely nothing. And that's very difficult on a family because sometimes they have no concept of what you would want to have done. So it can actually spawn some disagreements among siblings. I think one of the biggest mistakes is some people are unprepared, but they don't know it. And another incident that people don't think a lot about is that they always presume that their children are going to survive them. So it's just not very wise to not make planning a component of your life.
We talked earlier about Rosie and Jose, but in real life, how many people die without an adequate estate plan?
Well, you can find all kinds of numbers, but 55% do not have a will or estate plan. And 71%, almost 72%, do have a will, but it's not up to date. So it's important that if you do have a will, that it be current and up to date.
Why is an up-to-date estate plan part of being a good steward?
If we believe that all that we have comes from God and that we are stewards of His, then I think we have to ask ourselves some serious questions. And so giving your assets to your children equally, while it may be a good place to start, it may not be where you want to end up, because it may not be honoring to Christ and the kingdom to do that.
Well, I suppose another area we should discuss is naming a guardian for your minor children.
Oh, if you have minor children in your home, guardianship of your children is extremely important, because those are the people who are going to impress upon your children the life values that you may have.
Well, would the court consider my Christian values in naming a guardian?
May not take in your Christian values, because there is some statutory preferences. So if a child's grandmother, let's say, was living, she might have a preference in applying for guardianship for the grandchildren, because she is their next of kin. She is the nearest next of kin. But she may not be the best person to do that. Those are decisions that parents need to make in the best interest of their children.
You know, Ken, we have a friend who has a special needs child. How could estate planning and possibly a special needs trust help them?
Yeah, a special needs trust is when children, and I say children, and we're not talking about necessarily little children. They may be 40 years old, okay? But if they're special needs individuals, more than likely, most of them do not work enough to provide a big income for themselves. And so they may be entitled to all kinds of state programs. Well, if they're on those programs, which are not that easy always to get on, it takes some time to get there. And a loving grandparent leaves them $25,000. It instantly knocks them off the program. And then they have to spend that money down, and then they can apply to get back on the program. And that's, none of that is seamless.
You know, one reason people procrastinate with their estate plan is the cost. And I understand that. But what are some of the reasons why a do-it-yourself will can be problematic?
A few years ago, I had a woman, she called and she said, Mr. Roney, if I do my own will, would it be valid? Being the built-in smart aleck that I am, I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you were walking across the road and you got hit by a car and you broke your leg, would you have the legal right to set your own leg? Yeah, I guess I would. Well, why wouldn't you? Well, I wouldn't know what I was doing. I said, well, that's a great reason to not try to do your own will. And we don't think about that when we're doing estate planning.
Well, that gets me. I'm not about to set a broken leg. So besides a will, what other documents do you normally recommend?
Obviously a will or a trust. Then you do what is commonly called a living will. And a living will in most states, sometimes it's called a medical directive. Sometimes it's called different things. Basically, let your wishes, your end of life wishes known. Also, we do a HIPAA waiver, which is under the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. That basically designates who is authorized to have medical information about you. We also do medical powers of attorney. Who makes your medical decisions if you're not able to do that? We also do general powers of attorney, which are basically for financial matters. So there's four or five basic documents that the average estate plan would include.
Okay, well, what if someone has a will, but it's 10 years old? What would your advice to them be?
So if in the last 10 years you have moved from one state to another state, you should check with an attorney in the state in which you currently reside. And even if there's no changes that you want to make on your will, you need to verify that your will is valid in the state in which you currently live. If they have not moved, then they need to periodically look at it and check who the personal representative is. Is that person still in good health? Are they still capable of doing that function of administering your estate? Yeah, those are the kind of issues you need to look at.
What about a blended family? They're very common today. What should we know about planning with a blended family?
Yes, it is common. You know, some blended families are not problematic at all. Other times, there are situations where the children didn't want mom to get remarried or didn't want dad to get remarried. And so there's a built-up resentment. And if they don't feel like they're getting a fair shake, it just can be unpleasant. And parents don't always recognize that it's going to be problematic because children aren't always honest with their parents. They make mom believe that they're okay with their stepdad and they're okay with his kids. And then when mom dies, well, they're not so okay.
Recently in our extended family, there was a wedding where both partners had lost a lifelong spouse. What do we need to know about marriages late in life?
You know, if there are not children involved, then late in life marriages, the spouses may be perfectly happy to leave everything they have to their new spouse if something happens. But where they do have separate families, separate grandchildren, those kinds of things, prenuptial agreements are pretty important. What a prenuptial agreement basically says is we each come into this marriage with these assets. And we want, even though we're getting married, we want our assets to remain separate. And each spouse waives any claim that they have to those assets.
Ken, I've heard that a handwritten note alongside of your will can be an effective way to leave a message for a family member. Have you seen this done with your clients?
Yeah, we have people give directives and statements to their family. I'm thinking of one particular one that I always viewed as very poignant, and that was a husband and wife. They had a wayward boy, a prodigal. They gave one last shot at trying to rope him into the kingdom with a personal letter that was given to him along after their death.
Okay, Ken, you have one last chance to convince us why we should not put this off any longer. What would you tell our audience?
Because everybody's going to die. When you look at it, you say 55% of people do not have a will. Well, last time I checked, 100% are going to die. Yeah, it's important. I think on a serious note, it's important because it gives a peace of mind, really, to your kids. It gives them a strong guidance as to what you really wanted. You know, the old word for a will, and you've heard this, is last will and testament. And everybody knows what the will part is, but most people don't know what the testament part is. And that was in the old days, and I've seen a few of these old wills. Usually the first paragraph would be a statement of testimony of the person's belief in Jesus Christ and of his saving grace in their life. We don't have those paragraphs in wills today on a general basis, but if the parents are faithful with their assets in the final distribution, the way they live their life, and let's say they decide to leave 10% or whatever to their church, and they have been tithers and faithful givers over the years, and in their estate they do that, that's a testimony to their children and to their grandchildren. They were serious about their faith. Okay, and so I think that's a huge benefit to people. It gives them an opportunity. It's a last chance. It's the last messaging they can make to their families.
Well, take a moment and tell us a little bit about the Nazarene Foundation.
Sure. We are primarily designed to serve the ministries and message of the Church of the Nazarene, which is an international denomination. And we're in about 180 countries at this point. But we work with planned and deferred giving. We basically try to channel assets into the local church that cannot go through an offering plate. Historically, the church has funded its mission with the offering plate. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's hard to put stock certificates in an offering plate. It's hard to put real estate in an offering plate. And we also are able to serve other denominations. We're not locked into the Church of the Nazarene, but they are our parent company.
Ken, thank you for being with us today. Your real-life stories will help us understand estate planning better as we strive to be God's steward in the world today. For those involved in a small group study, please give your attention to your group facilitator to continue this discussion on Building My Footprint for God. Thanks for joining us today. Please tell your friends and church family about us. Also, hit the subscribe button or head over to footprintforgod.com to discover more. Until next time, this is your host, Ken Edwards, reminding us to build our footprint for God today so our family will follow the Lord tomorrow.